The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway. It's Fox Sports Knoxville, 4 o'clock on your Friday. Parker Pewitt in with the top four at four. Parker?
First up, Tennessee was picked fifth in the East by the media for the upcoming season. As for the predicted winner for the SEC Championship, Alabama received 203 votes, Georgia 49, LSU 3. Tennessee received one, along with Mississippi State, South Carolina, Florida, and Trey's Auburn.
Getting set to...
You know what? I don't need all that, bruh. I'm cutting you off, but no, that went over my head for a minute. Then I went back and thought about it, and he said Trey's Auburn, and I was like, damn it. He got me again. That's right. We're picked to finish fourth. Head of Tennessee, that's fifth.
So, bastard. I've got nothing. Continue.
And number two, James Harden joins Anthony Davis as the second star to pull out of the FIBA World Cup for the United States. Harden states he wants to use the extra time to adapt to playing with Russell Westbrook. So I'm guessing that means Russ will also pull out. The United States are heavy favorites at minus 800, followed by Serbia at plus 900, Spain at plus 1500. France and Greece are both at plus 3000.
When is this? Is now? This is what
this
is this?
This is summer, the FIBA World Cup.
The FIBA World Cup.
Yeah.
I like this stuff.
We kick ass
it's
in FIBA.
Fun.
Well, we do. We have lately, but there was a spell there in the mid-2000s where we did not. And we lost a couple. I remember there was one of those Iverson teams
that's
we
true.
Lost, and it was really embarrassing.
Well, that's when Mark and Power at their prime, right?
Well, and Coach K took over, and ever since then it's been, I want to say, smooth sailing because we've been challenged a couple of times, but we have won all the major right. tournaments, right?
Right. And now that Giannis is playing for Greece, that's going to be cool to watch, I think.
Since he's Greek?
Since he's playing for Greece, yeah.
Do they have anybody else on that team?
I don't know, but he's the biggest player that's not American, like, ever.
I mean, I think you have to have – you got to have a point guard, and you got to have, like, two other guys to really challenge us. And several teams, like Spain and Argentina, have had that in the past. France has had that a little bit.
Australia's got it right now, too.
Who do they have?
Gobert? No, that's France. Patty Mills, I know.
Didn't, like, one of the Slavic countries give us trouble in the past?
Serbia. Maybe Serbia.
Like Serbia, like the Divocs and
Arvidas Sabonis.
Yeah, and Milosevic and, you know.
Well, then they played a very different style of basketball than the one we were playing back then, and they took it seriously and wanted to win probably more than our guys did, and kind of caught up with us. It was a far cry from 1992 and Charles Barkley swallowing some poor Frenchman's soul, destroying Angola out there by about 70 points. Remember that? It was like, looking back on it, it really is kind of pointless. Like, what were we doing with the Dream Team? Sending Bird and Magic and Michael and all those guys just to
and Barkley
dunk on everybody. I guess we had lost a couple of times before with the college players.
No, we'd only lost once, I thought. 72.
I think they lost a couple of times. 72,
they lost in 70. Yeah. We got the Soviet screw job in 72.
I think we lost a couple of other times, too. And, like, we were tired of the world, other people,
it
like, chirping a little.
Oh,
they were chirping a little bit. They're like, the Americans, they think they're so good at the basketball, and we go and beat them. And the other's like, listen, slow down, Sergey. We got some dudes out here like that make your head spin.
Yeah.
We're just going to show you once. I think that would have been cool if we just showed it once. Like, just set the 92 Dream Team out there. We're only going to do this once. We just want to make the point here, remind everybody who Daddy is. It's like, go out there and beat everybody by 50 all the way through, win the gold medal. All right, we're going to take it easy on the rest. We send the college players again. But,
could you imagine Bird out there?
Just don't step out of line.
Smack talking in a foreign language.
I don't think Larry Bird speaks foreign language. He doesn't strike me as a multilingual
Indiana.
Kind
of
guy.
What are you trying
guy.
To say? He's a Rube from French Lick, Indiana?
He's the hick from French Lick, yes. That's exactly what I'm trying to say. I don't mean it in a derogatory manner at all.
And number three, Mizzou announced today that on August 2nd, their preseason camp will begin, and they will allow 14 of the 17 practices to open up to the media, and all the players and coaches will be available upon request.
Missouri opening up.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, Trey's sitting here
wishing
on his phone.
In Columbia.
He's making travel plans. He's going to start covering Missouri.
Yes, absolutely.
Just for the access.
How much content that would be?
Well, here's my – I know all the Knoxville media folks are saying, oh, see, like, they're opening up – like, you ought to do that. How many people are going to Missouri football practice?
Probably 4 to 5. Tennessee would have at least 23 to 24 people out there.
Well, I think both of those numbers are low. Like, I think probably – you probably got 2 or 3 TV folks in Missouri who go, probably 2 or 3 writers, a couple of websites, maybe a radio station. You probably got a dozen people or so going to Missouri football practice. You got like 30 or 40 people showing up for a Tennessee football practice. It's out of control. And –
it's oversaturated, big time.
Like, I get it. Like, there's probably a happy medium you could do where you could open it up a little bit, give a little bit more access to the media, which will help drum up interest among fans and stuff without giving away these important state secrets like what kind of blitz package Tennessee is going to run on third down against BYU.
True. Number four, big weekend for boxing. As Manny Pacquiao is back and will face undefeated welterweight champ Keith Thurman tomorrow night for a chance at a belt. Earlier this week, Floyd Mayweather said he had no interest in a future rematch with Pacquiao.
Big weekend of boxing. Rob, the plant kid from Nashville, he's fighting. He's got a title fight this weekend, IBF super middleweight. Oh, his last name's Plant. And then we've got Pacquiao Saturday night. Nobody cares, but I just hope he gets beat by Keith Thurman. And, you know, that's about it. And then now you've got Josh Pastner from Georgia State. The AGC just releases an article saying that he shaded the truth and pretty much lied to the NCAA about his involvement with a former booster. It is not good.
Poor Josh Pastner.
Oh, it's not good.
Well, he's done. That's another job that could open up. I'll be interested to see what happens with old Bruce Pearl down there at Auburn.
Bruce.
Auburn said yesterday that they fully expect an NCAA investigation as a result of the Chuck Person thing. They had to file a victim impact statement. I don't see how Auburn is a victim of a assistant basketball coach who they knowingly employed. But they said in that statement that they fully expect the NCAA to come down and launch an investigation into Bruce Pearl's basketball program down there on the plains. Now, Bruce Pearl's going to say, I know nothing. He's going to go full Sergeant Schultz. I didn't know what this guy was doing. He's operating independently. I had no clue. How is the NCAA going to look upon Bruce Pearl knowing that he has already had multiple NCAA issues throughout his career, including the infamous 3-year show cause that he received for coaching here at Tennessee?
It's not good. Not great, Bob. NCAA's already down there. You know, they're investigating. Got themselves a nice little hotel.
That and the football, I mean, I would think football program, they'd shove them off the stage if they just get the NCAA the hell out of there.
I mean, Auburn football would sacrifice Auburn basketball for the cause. Any day.
Yeah, yeah, twice. That's what I'm saying.
Right, yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah,
but they,
yeah.
They'd shove them off.
The Atlanta
how would football get sucked into the Chuck Person investigation?
Well, you never know. If the NCAA's on campus, they're going to be snooping around anyways for stuff.
I mean, Lane Kiffin's what brought the NCAA to Knoxville originally when Bruce got in trouble. That's why they were originally here.
I think the NCAA just gets on campus and they're like,
That's what Mike and Vestal told me.
Mike and Vestal
said. Yeah. My buddy Mike.
So the NCAA
Vestal.
Was in here investigating Kiffin, which I think that's pretty well documented. And then, like, they just found the
Snooping
Aaron
around.
Kraft photo in the course of that and decided to open an investigation
there. I'll have to do some research with him, go back over what the theory is.
The theory.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what the fact was.
Yeah.
Tad Mata's program turned him in. They found the picture and sent it to the NCAA. It had nothing to do with Kiffin.
You don't have to be a patronizing SOB to me every day.
I just want to be. I want to make sure that it's factual information that we're dispensing here on the drive, and not unsubstantiated.
I said it was
rumor and
a
innuendo.
Theory.
Okay. Well.
Get back on this. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution somehow, and this is me saying somehow, but somehow obtained a recording of Josh Pastner's confidential interview with the NCAA and compared his statements to text messages, emails, photographs, and videos, many contained in court documents. The review comes as Tech faces a reckoning for what the NCAA has deemed severe breach of conduct involving Bell and a Georgia Tech assistant coach. Not good.
So Pastner was diddling some booster's wife?
Well, that he was also hanging
Am I missing? Is that wrong? Is that?
He was hanging. This guy. I'll tweet this photo. I'll tweet this everything.
I don't care about the paying players and stuff like that. I want to know the dirty details.
Okay,
is Josh Pastner unfaithful? Did he break up a marriage, Trey?
Josh Pastner. On November 30th of 2017, NCAA officials met with him, and he said they dramatically mischaracterized his ties to Ron Bell, who is an estranged friend, a reformed drug addict, a former prison inmate from Tucson, Arizona. The NCAA questioned Pastner about Bell's claims that the coach instructed him to give benefits to players and to recruit an athlete
from
another school.
Okay, so I'm unnecessarily slandering Josh Pastner. I'm sorry. It's just straight up paying players and whatever.
Feels good to bash him.
No
curly haired freak.
No sexual overtones.
No, but the pastor and the wife were text messaging though.
I'm sorry.
That came out last year. They're messaging.
Yeah.
Pastner. Yeah.
All right. He's such a nice person.
Let's get Phil in here next. Phil, you're on the drive. Fox Sports Knoxville. Good afternoon, sir.
What do you say, W?
What's up, Philly?
How are you and Trey and Bear Bryant doing?
Doing well. How are
you? Coming off a bad performance last night. Good to hear from you.
Guys, Jamie Utah come and host 2 years in a row, ain't he?
He what?
You're not going to do this, Phil. We listened to it twice yesterday after the show, buddy.
I listened to it during while the show was going on, drinking beer.
Okay, say that one more time for me, Phil.
I was listening to the show, drinking beer and counting.
We drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
How many beers deep were you when you were listening?
I really can't remember, but if that makes Winchester start having great calls like he did today, then more power to him. I hope Winchester wins the whole thing now.
We listened to the podcast, the playback twice, the four of us after the show twice, we listened to it sober, mind you, stone cold sober, well, most of us anyway, and we all agreed that Westchester won the playoff fair and square.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it's time to move on, man.
I guess yes. So.
Guys, what you got, Philly? Y'all talking a lot of stuff today. I don't know where to begin, whether the majors, Thomer or Pastner or what's the other thing y'all been talking about? The spacewalk.
Space exploration. Yeah, the moon. Yeah, we've been talking about that and a bunch of different other things. When it comes,
talk about global warming here before it's over, you know?
Nah, that would just be when hell freezes over and Tennessee gets another national title chance.
Hmm.
Which I actually think will come in the next 20 years.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, Trey?
What are you doing? Trying to pump the bear?
Let's talk about Pearl then, since that seems like pretty good. Maybe Utah will call in and chime in. But
no, it was interesting yesterday, Philly, because we were talking with we're talking about Matt Hayes, and I was kind of making a joke of his end of the world never happening again type thing. And I feel it was a bit dramatic and for clicks. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, lots of guys. If you lose Vanderbilt 3 out of 5 years, your program is never going to get back to the promised land. I've never experienced it in my lifetime, Vanderbilt owning us in football. Even though we can't even beat South Carolina or Missouri. But
so you think Matt Hayes is right? You think it's over?
Well, I don't know if it's over because people have come back. Until we see a good enough leadership on this campus that shows that we're dedicated to winning, like Alabama or Ohio State or Clemson are.
Well, what else would you have to see from the leadership at this point to show you that?
You want to see evidence of the bags being dropped?
I want it in the gray area. That's the only way to do it. That's how they did it. that's how we need to do it.
I mean, your stance on whether or not we should be coloring outside the lines is pretty well established on the show, Phil.
Well,
you've offered to be a bag man.
Yeah, and what's so funny about this NCAA stuff that's going on, I'd say that Buck Pearl and NC State are going to pay for the sins of Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, and Kansas.
Wow.
Probably.
What do you think?
Well, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, it feels like the NCAA's credibility is on the line like it's never been before right now. And, you know, if NC State gets slapped around, I mean, I think you're right, Phil. You know, if Arizona, Kansas, North Carolina, yeah. You know, if you don't see some major programs get some major sanctions, then I think, you know, maybe we're past this point already, but in my mind, it's time to have the what are we doing here conversation nationally about the NCAA and whether or not it's even necessary at this point.
W, yesterday me and you were talking, and you said that the SEC East is stronger than the SEC West.
I did not say that. That was Greg McElroy said that this week at SEC Media Days, and he's not saying that. He was saying that the SEC West was top heavy, and he felt the East from top to bottom was better.
Hmm. Well, I guess you could make that statement, but all honesty, if you compared it team for team, I just don't see it.
Well, I mean, if we're all agreeing that Vanderbilt is the worst team in the SEC East, I mean, they housed Arkansas last year, I believe. It was the worst team in the West, so, you know.
Well, you could say Arkansas is the worst team in the SEC, though, right?
Clearly, they were last year. And you look at the top of the league, and it's Alabama and Georgia, and that game was very close, as it was the year before in the national championship. So, what does that tell you?
Yeah, but close, but no cigarette. I mean, cigar. That's the way it is.
You know, I went back. I noticed there one person went out of that game when their offense fell apart.
What, Georgia?
Yeah. You know who it was?
No, who?
Cade Mays.
It always comes back to Catholics. Somehow, when Phil and Bear talk, there will always be some way back to Catholic High School of Knoxville. It's really impressive.
Do you think Buck Pearl's going to be around enough to get commitments from the Catholic ball players?
I was talking about that with somebody yesterday here. I can't remember which one of the guys it was, and they were like, oh, he probably won't even be. It was you.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Russ.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah, okay. Russ doesn't think he's going to be there by the time they graduate.
Old age, isn't it?
A little bit. I'm rubbing off on
old
him.
Old age? What's that supposed to mean?
You're like the youngest member of, like, would be the youngest member of the crew that I run with. Like, and you would get all our pop culture references.
Not to
you're
mention
in our generation.
Smartest or best
the youngest
looking.
One of you three, isn't it?
Yeah, I am. No, well, yeah, of us three, yeah.
Yeah.
Serial killer over there, I think, just
turned
19.
Yeah, I guess, compared to the old station, though, there's a bunch of youngsters running around, you know what I'm saying? All right.
We're the prettiest show, I know that.
I'm sure Bear scares them, though. See.
Thank you, Phil.
It's kind of ugly.
You think?
I don't scare anybody.
You think our coworkers are scared of you?
No.
You think they're skeert?
I think a couple of them don't know how to take me.
You think they're skeert?
No.
I didn't know how to take you till I got on the air.
I've known him for 2 years
learning.
Now. I still don't know how to take him.
2 years, is that what you said?
Yeah. Three? Four? How long have we known each other?
How long ago I listened to you and met you long before I called.
Mm-hmm.
My first call was the day that we hired Dave Hart.
Wow.
When you flushed me.
Wait a minute. Dave Hart.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Yeah, Dave Hart. The guy told you what he was going to do, and then he did it. But, you know, you and Terry were too tickled to call me an idiot and flush me.
Somebody calls into Russell's show to name Bear.
So you called the shot. You looked into your crystal ball.
Yeah.
Knew everything about Dave Hart. Is he still at East Carolina?
He's an advisor role.
It took me about 30 seconds on Google to realize that guy had just gotten ran out of Florida State.
So you think you Googled Dave Hart and Tennessee didn't when they hired him?
Who knows with them? They had Greg Schiano on a Gulfstream coming down here with a signed contract. Me and you and about five other guys around town were formulating a riot.
Stopped it.
Yeah.
Got the torches and pitchforks out.
Damn Skippy.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I know we have to get to Bromber, but I did go back and listen to y'all's voluntary reaction about a week ago.
Which one?
The
Shiano Sunday?
All the hours.
It's kind of a snapshot in time, wasn't it?
Yeah. No, it really was.
Watching a fan base melt down before your very eyes, before your very ears.
Yeah. It was interesting to go back and listen to again.
Just the roller coaster of emotion from coming on in a blind rage.
You came on also without any music. You just came straight on air.
Coming on to just the feeling of dejection and utter hopelessness to
– I'm getting chills thinking about it.
A crack in the – maybe a sign of hope to – all right, this is our last chance to stop this. Put on more steam. Do what you got to do. Call your state rep. Get down to campus. Do what you got to do. Rise up.
Vol Nation.
And it happened.
It's really.
Didn't y'all go longer, though, than. I don't know if that's good. Didn't y'all go longer than 4 hours, though?
Oh, it's 7 hours. Yeah,
whole 7 hours up?
Yeah. Me and Russ went seven, and Houston and Nate took over in here. I mean, you don't call it quits early when you're fighting for the soul of your university's athletic program.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville, Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports coming up next. We'll talk more college football after this.
The Drive.
I didn't think so.
All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fox Sports Knoxville. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports, joining us on the show for a little college football talk. Hello, Nick. How are you, sir?
What's up? What would you guys do if I just started reading Jeremy Prunick's 21-minute opening statement?
Searching for hard liquor, I don't know, freshening up my resume, something of that nature.
That was. How bad is it that was probably like a top three moment from SEC media days?
Yeah, that doesn't say a lot for the entertainment value of SEC Media Days. That was gonna be my first thought question. Just your thoughts on the week, not just the SEC. I know the other leagues. I've not heard anything about. I heard something about the Big 12 and Bowlesby denying expansion talk, as he does every year about this time. I've not heard anything about the Pac-12, anything about the ACC.
Scott Frost's press conference was probably the most boringest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It seemed like media days across the country was kind of a dud this year, Nick.
Well, here's the thing about the Pac-12, which is the most Pac-12 thing ever. They do it all in one day. That one day is next Wednesday, which looked great 6 months ago. You have the whole day to yourself. Robert Mueller is testifying.
Man.
Not that there's a big crossover, but it's like, you have one of the biggest national stories all year, and it's like, oh, it's the same day as Pac-12 Media Days. This is the Pac-12. But no, ACC Media Days, last year, we were laughing about this all week. Last year we had Larry Fedora and how the decline of football is the attack on America. And just that insanity. This year, really nothing happened from ACC Media Days. At least, I think Jim Delaney kind of went out firing a little bit at Big Ten Media Days. And then you had the fun with Jim Harbaugh today, who I think said some interesting things in the minimal words that he said outside of following up on the weird comment he had about Urban Meyer in the press conference. So, to me, I think Jim Harbaugh was definitely the highlight of the entire week. But, yeah, this was not one of those news-making college football media weeks, for sure.
Yeah, and Harbaugh is, a goofy guy. He's established himself as this weird college football figure, but I actually agree with what he said today. And for those who might have missed it, he said that Urban Meyer was a great football coach, but it seems like controversy has followed him everywhere he's gone. And it was like, oh, my God, Harbaugh talking smack. And today he came out and said, I really wasn't talking smack. I was just kind of saying something that I thought was fairly obvious. To which I'm like, yeah, that I kind of agree with crazy Harbaugh.
And that's the thing. It's it was a weird, you knew it was going to happen. He was going to get asked about it today, which I think we had to come up because in that podcast where he makes that comment, it's basically this one line throwaway comment that he makes about Urban. And then the subject matter on the podcast switches completely to the 49ers. There is no follow-up question. It was like one of those red flag moments where you're like, oh man, if you could do that over again, 99 times out of 100, there's a follow-up question and you kind of, you dig in a little bit deeper on that subject. So of course he was going to, you know, he was going to double down with it. And then quite frankly, I thought the bigger news from Harbaugh was him being based the most prominent and maybe one of the first college football coaches to come out and say, look, you know, every kid needs to have a one-time free transfer, basically. Everybody should have one transfer where you get immediate eligibility to your new school, a second transfer, you got to sit out, and then he's like, I want to keep the graduate transfer practice the way it is. And then, you know, you contrast that with Wednesday, where Nick Saban, you know, was talking about how some things with the waiver process have made, you know, he likes to use his phrase again, free agency in college football.
I mean, is it... When you look at, we had another transfer today, Clemson's corners transferring, Michael transferring out, and, you know, it seemed like these coaches, they wanted to act like they didn't know all the rules pertaining to the transfer portal. But when you grill them on the graduate transfer rules, Nick, they knew every single in and out and where they would have to end up, what they'd have to get done. But then you talk to them about the portal, or guys transferring, and they come up with 10,000 excuses of what they don't know and why they can't explain it. Where's the breakdown there?
And what I don't also understand either is no one seems to complain about the rule that the NCAA put in place along with the institution of the transfer portal. They didn't go hand in hand, but they happened roughly this last year at the same time, in that you can transfer without penalty if your coach is fired or leaves your school. You are free to transfer somewhere else and be immediately eligible. With that rule in place, I don't necessarily know what giving every transfer immediate eligibility, how much that actually is a huge step towards this free agency that Saban and other coaches have talked about. Will more kids transfer? Probably. But as was brought up, I think it was at SEC Media Days this week, you know, there are players who are going into the portal, which still sounds so matrixy, who don't have a spot. They have to either drop down like they used to go play FCS ball if there's a spot there, because right now especially, teams don't have open scholarships because they're already, with their incoming recruiting classes, fighting the scholarship limit as it is, and then you've got guys in medical retirements, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't necessarily know there would be that much of a spike in transfers if everybody got just a one-time free transfer.
I mean, a month ago, there were, if I remember correctly, because I talked to a buddy that knows, there were 1,249 players in the NCAA transfer portal. That includes all divisions. So, I mean, it's like, okay, where are you going to end up? Where are you going to go? I mean, if you're not set,
right,
if you leave Tennessee and the only people coming after you are an FCS school and you're not satisfied, well, hell, you can't go back to Tennessee.
No, you know, there's 85 scholarships everywhere, and most everybody recruits in the springtime to try to maximize those 85 scholarships. And, you know, a lot of people hate the idea of gray shirting, which I think is a valid concern, where people are oversigning and then going that way. So if coaches can oversign and you can have 90 potential scholarship players on a roster with 85 scholarships, I don't see why you can have this, because it can just become it's a numbers game either way, and give the players just a little bit more power and a little bit more leeway, as long as, you know, as we're talking about, they know that simply putting your name in the transfer portal is not going to guarantee that there's going to be a scholarship for you somewhere else.
Nick Bromberg of Yahoo Sports with us this afternoon, talking a little college football, and no surprise in the SEC as the media predicts Bama and Georgia to win the West and East, respectively, play the third consecutive year in the SEC championship game. And, Nick, is this Bama-Georgia domination of the SEC, is this good for the league in terms of interest, or is this getting old to folks around the country?
I think it's getting a little old, and I'm interested to see how long, you know, we'll throw Clemson in the mix in terms of being a playoff team, because, spoiler alert, we're going to do a top 25 here over the next 6 weeks, and I think Georgia has a very strong case to be a playoff team this year. I am interested to see if casual college football fans are going to tune out. And I reference those people as not being the diehards who live in SEC country and who follow recruiting 24/7, just people who flip on games on Saturdays and watch the bowl games. And I kind of think back to, you know, Jim Delaney with what he had said this week of, you know, he said, I want the college football playoff committee to look more at championships and scheduling, specifically mentioned that Ohio State was sixth in the final poll. But I think he's more amenable than ever to the prospect of an 18 playoff because the Big Ten, which was the big topic of Big Ten media days, has not made the playoff for the last 2 years. Does an 18 playoff fix this dominance dynamic because it opens up four more spots for other teams to get in the playoff? I think it could. It's not going to hurt, and I think it's actually going to do. I think it probably would help because even if you just do the baseline of every champion from a Power 5 conference and three wild cards, throw Notre Dame into the wild card mix, you're looking at new faces every single year, and you're giving some hope to, say, an LSU or a Texas A&M if they somehow manage a 10-2 season off that schedule. Because if you look at Texas A&M and Auburn right now, they have absolutely no shot of going undefeated or probably even finishing with one loss. But you can't tell me that if everything plays out generally how we expect it to, because it never plays out like we always expect it to, but they are going to have two of the toughest schedules, if not the two toughest schedules, of anyone this year because they're playing all the West plus Georgia.
Yeah, Nick, I always thought it would make sense they'd have the five Power 5 champions. They could use one of the other slots for, you know, like your UCF. Like, I can't remember off the top of my head what
– one of the group of five, the best teams.
Best group of five team. And then have two at-large bids.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and if Notre Dame is 10-2, 9-1, you know, if they have a tough schedule and they do the same thing, you can consider them for a wild card bid in those two at-large teams. But, no, I totally agree. And then if you've got to figure out a way, even if you play the first four games at campus sites, you can still figure that out and make it work and then do your same system like you have it now where you've got the semifinals at or around New Year's because of the way that the Rose Bowl and Sugar Bowl thing has to work. And then you play the title game in early January.
Nick, who's got the better chance of a letdown this year in the SEC? And who do you think has the best chance to kind of surprise some folks?
All right, so I'm going to go with the surprise simply because it's the easiest one. I might have mentioned it last week. I think Missouri can win 10 games just because of how bad their schedule is. They draw Ole Miss and Arkansas out of the West, and they have Florida at home. They go to Georgia. I think if you count Florida and Georgia as being two losses right there, well, I think Missouri would probably end up – they've got South Carolina at home. They'll be favored in that game. Kentucky, I think we all expect them to be weaker than they were a year ago. They got Tennessee at home. I think that's doable. I don't think it'll happen, but I think that's doable. In terms of letdown, that's tough because I think you have to throw out Ole Miss, Arkansas in that category. Is it Kentucky? I'm not sure this is a team that's going to win 10 games again, but I feel like it's a cop-out to pick Kentucky. I think South Carolina's going to be pretty decent. I think Florida's going to be pretty good. I wonder if it's going to be one of A&M or Auburn simply because of that schedule. And I can see a situation where we're looking at Alabama, LSU maybe in the group here with two wins, and then you've just got a mess of teams with Auburn, A&M, and Mississippi State in that 8-4 range. And I think for at least the Auburn and A&M fan bases, 8-4 would be a letdown season.
Okay, I usually get one question per time with you,
here
Nick,
we go.
So I'm going to ask it. Here we go.
Here we go, racing.
All right, your thoughts. Kurt Busch, redemption, last weekend. We're heading to New Hampshire. Who's got to make a move this weekend?
I think it's going to be Kevin Harvick. I mean, you're looking at this team right now where they've been close all year and they've been good. They just haven't put it together. And I'm not worried about Kevin Harvick winning because of how fast this team has been all year. I think you have to look at it in terms of playoff points. These guys ahead of him are accumulating so many points to the playoffs that he's not getting. He needs those 5 points to get a win.
he won here last year. I think he could win at New Hampshire again this year. I'm on record. I'm going to go on a limb. I think it's going to be kind of a blah race. We've seen how short tracks have been negatively impacted by NASCAR's rules this year. And they've put sticky stuff all over the track, literally from like the second groove all the way to the wall. There's only one spot on the track.
They did it again
in the corner. We are in the 3 weeks of sticky stuff. Sticky stuff last week.
What the hell?
This week, sticky stuff next week at Pocono.
They've ruined the sport, Nick. They've ruined it. They've killed the thing
I
love.
If you like traction compound, NASCAR is the place for you.
Oh, I love traction compound. What do I always say, Bear?
You like
love
traction,
me
compound.
Some traction compound.
He said it the other day, Nick. He called me and he said, "Hey, Bear, I love some traction compound."
It's true.
So you're saying you're going to lay your traction compound in your driveway this weekend? Is that your weekend project?
Oh, he's laying it down this weekend.
He'll lay it up and down the steps inside his house.
Hey, you won't fall down the steps that way.
Talking about racing? Nick, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Nick Bromberg on Twitter, yahoosports.com. Thank him for jumping on with us. Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smokeout question: where will Tennessee finish in the SEC East this year? We've got a lot of votes coming in at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter. We'll let you know the results of the poll when we continue next here on The Drive. It's Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive is The Drive. It's time for the Rickard Ridge Barbecue Smokin' Hot Question of the Day. Brought to you by Rickard Ridge Barbecue. Located in Cove Lake State Park. Online at RickardRidgeBBQ.com.
Oh. Trey Stapp serenading us here in the Fan Run Studios during the break.
I mean, we've kind of been joking about that.
Looking like a fool in it and
where will Tennessee finish?
Blasting it.
Where will Tennessee finish in the SEC East this year? The media picks Tennessee fifth.
Media can go to hell, Russ.
Oh!
They will finish higher.
Okay, that's pretty good.
All right, appreciate it.
Where will Tennessee finish this year? Media says fifth. How out of the over 200 votes cast already at Fox Sports Knox on Twitter, what percentage would you say picked Tennessee to finish fifth?
30%.
Trey?
Go 45%.
No.
10.
Tennessee fans feel themselves a little bit.
Sheepy.
7% of the audience is buying that. 43% of the audience says third. 34% says fourth. And 16% says second. So the lion's share, that we'll say 3-4 range.
I could go with four. Right now I've got a hard time believing that we're beating Missouri this year. I got a stat from my friend Mike Investel.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here. I think Missouri has out. It's the score the past 2 years against Missouri. So if you have Zoloft, I would advise you to go ahead and eat like four or five of them.
Hold on, wait a minute. This is the combined score Tennessee Missouri the past 2 years.
They've scored 102 points on us in the last 2 years.
Oh my god!
In the sport of football.
They probably haven't scored that many in basketball with Konzo Martin coaching over there.
No. Not the team we've rolled out there. I bet it's really close.
So what did we score? What's the
– Oh, he didn't.
Oh, it's just the defense. That's all we got?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's nice.
With arms wide open.
Wide open Pandora's box with him.
Yeah, I mean, you asked him what his favorite Creed song was.
I mean,
we started this.
I thought it was going to be a goof. You'd be like, you know, I didn't want to do it on air.
Hey.
I
don't know what's more disturbing, that impression or the 102 points against Missouri the past 2 years.
The 102 points.
I'm just surprised.
I don't know if you came back
from believing about aliens and going crazy in a driveway in Tampa. Now he's back on tour.
Don't you think we ought to revive the space program?
Yeah, I saw something on it before I came when I was home eating lunch before I came in here.
Better do something, man.
We're talking about going back to the moon.
I was thinking about that because
why did we stop?
Well,
We stopped because...
because we'd done it several times, and it's kind of like, okay, yeah, we're just kind of kicking over the same old ground here. But here's the thing, man, is the film...
Apparently, little Gacy's got something for us.
Yes, Dexter?
We actually lost the plans for the Saturn V. We lost the blueprint for it.
That is true.
We lost the blueprint for... What's the Saturn V?
That was the rocket that cost like a gajillion dollars that was a heavy load, a heavy... payload lifting rocket.
What were we going to take up there?
That's the whole point. They have no idea. All the blueprint, it somehow got lost. I don't know what the story
is. Well, yeah, but we don't need that anymore. I mean, we can create like a much better rocket now. That's what I was thinking of. All those pictures of the moon.
Do you know how much money it costs to develop a brand new heavy lifting payload rocket?
It seems like Elon Musk is doing it every other day.
Exactly, man. Yeah, but they're farming out to the private sector.
Yeah, that's for low Earth orbit, Russ.
Well, let's kick it up a notch. Let's do something.
That's not the same as going 250,000 miles away.
Hey. When JFK stood up there in 1961 and said, "We are going to put a man on the moon within 10 years," like everybody's looking around, like, "What's he smoking? Put a man on the moon? Like, the Russians have missals in Cuba. What the hell is he talking about?"
What's the next line of that about?
And we did it. We freaking did it, man. We freaking did it, and it was awesome, and it brought people together. All the division.
Yeah, but
in
you're forgetting
right now.
It was really hard for them to get through all that.
But they did it.
Do you know what they call the American
Grissom,
Space
Chaffee
Station?
Chaffee and White, the International
they,
Space
they did
Station.
It though. They did. Yes, it's hard, and it's going to be hard to go to Mars. But we can do it. Let's do it.
Call it the Skylab.
Let's freaking do it, man.
Skylab fell to Earth back in the 70s, Trey.
Did it? I don't know. I'm reading up on Saturn V right now.
What are we waiting on? Let's do something.
Why can't we just build like a rocket? I mean, we got Red Bull out here parachuting people up to space and letting them jump out. And
because
we can't
you
build
two
a rocket.
Numbskull, smooth brain morons don't understand that, you know, we spent like $20 billion or more building a rocket that would do it. And then you're going to start off from scratch and try and design it again.
I say forget the. Never mind. Go ahead, Parker.
Y'all got to understand, we didn't find anything.
Whoa, homie.
There was nothing on the moon. It was just a rock. So what's the point in going back?
That's what you think. That's what they're not telling us.
The point is they have to. If we ever want to go to Mars, the moon, we have to get back to the moon first.
Let's set up like some houses and communities on the moon.
It's not houses and communities, but you have to have a spot where they can. I didn't do my research. I should have done my research.
Of course you didn't. I'm just speculating here. Look, man, I'm not trying to come off like Carl Sagan over here or anything.
We do our research. Have you done your research?
All I'm saying is, like, we just, like, the last thing that happened in space was the Challenger or the Columbia exploded, and we just gave up. We're like, oh, well, it's not worth it. Let's do something, man.
Last thing I
remember. You know who we ought to really get on to talk about this?
That chick that went all the way from Texas to Florida in a diaper to kill the dude?
No.
Former astronaut?
What the hell are you talking about?
You know what I'm talking
about. Joshua Dobbs.
Well, yeah, get him on.
All right.
Let's get the Dobber on. Call him up.
Okay.
I would actually love to do a 10-15 minute phone interview with Dobbs, however long we can get him, and talk nothing but about space, not a single football question. Just talk to him about space and see if we can learn something.
Apparently, is it Jacoby Brissett?
I'll line this up for you guys.
You know how some of the NFL players, you know, they've got the guy that doesn't believe in dinosaurs, but he believes in mermaids, and then the flat. There was somebody.
Yeah.
I think somebody interacted with Dobbs about. You know, I don't know if it's
flat
Earth.
Yeah, he said something about a vacuum. He's like, why is it cold in space? Like something like that. And Dobbs' response is like, space is a vacuum, bro.
Bruh.
He dropped knowledge on him. That Florida education.
Go Gator.
I remember him doing
that's
that.
Just
that
funny. Thinking
funny.
About a gator trying to debate Dobbs about.
You ever been to the space museum down there at Cape Canaveral?
Cape Canaveral or in Huntsville, at Marshall?
No, I've been to the one. I did a camp at the one in Huntsville when I was in sixth grade.
Well, humble brag about getting to go to space camp, huh?
No, it was like a three-day.
Poor kids up here in Knoxville didn't get to go to space camp, Trey.
It was like a three-day trip that our school took, just us sixth graders. I think it was sixth graders.
I think we went.
Went to the space camp.
We went
camp.
For one day, though. Did you go to space? To
the space thing in Huntsville? Yeah.
It's pretty neat. Pretty neat. My dad and uncle like snuck through to the one down in Florida.
I'm ready for Elon or the Virgin
Richard Branson.
Guy. Yeah, Richard Branson to have the commercial space travel. I want to fly up there and check it out.
I'm not getting on one of those.
Before I die.
Would you want your ashes thrown up there?
No.
What about if we like froze you cryogenically?
Can we do that?
Sure.
We could do live remotes.
You can make me one of those heads like in Futurama. Just put my head in a tank.
No.
Just preserve my big giant brain.
I'd like to see what kind of Tennessee CTE you have.
Oh, there's no CTE. I'm not engaging in
how much
head
Tennessee
banging
has done to
activities.
That head right there.
I mean, there might be like emotional trauma, but not physical trauma. The brain's okay, as far as I know.
It's good that Space Camp was fun, but the one in Huntsville was good, but the one in Florida that's neat. Getting to go down there and see the rockets and all that good jazz.
Go Gator.
I've got an update from Mike and Vestal.
Mm-hmm.
It was 102 to 34 the past 2 years.
Jeez, man.
Scored 17.
102 to 44.
34.
34.
We scored 17 points both years.
Missouri has kicked the crap out of us 2 years in a row. I don't expect to win that game. To me, well, here's the thing, though. That game's so late in the season. Like, what if Kelly Bryant gets hurt? What if there's a billion what ifs?
They also come off games to Florida and Georgia before us.
Yeah, we don't know what they're going to look like. We don't know what we're going to look like by then.
I mean, the other thing you have to factor into it, and I never even thought about when they're joining, the weather's so wacky up there late in the year. I can't believe how cold it gets.
Oh, it could be snowing.
Missouri. They shouldn't even be in the SEC. It should be West Virginia and Florida State.
Primo of Laguna says SpaceX launches the Deltal Heavy reaching space and orbit in less than 20 minutes. They have the rocket. It's all about the thrust, gentlemen.
That's what she said.
I don't think it's – I'm familiar with the rocket he's speaking of. I don't think that one's got enough payload lifting capabilities to get to the moon. I mean, do you understand how big the Apollo was?
I mean,
I remember going down to Florida on vacation. We drove past one that was laying on its side.
I thought Ned Harris was a really good NASA director.
That was the role he was born to play, for sure.
Oh. I agree, right? And that was good.
I don't know. It's wild that from the Earth to the Moon, it's got a ton of famous guys in it. It's from 20 years ago, and they all look young.
Lieutenant Dan, he was good. Didn't have the measles. That kind of sucked. I'd be pretty mad if that happened.
His name is Gary Sinise, Trey. Lieutenant Dan was a character in Forrest Gump. Come on, show some respect.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
With what?
Just with that. With what he said about Gary.
That wasn't a statement. That was a request. Show some respect to Gary Sinise, one of the great actors of our time.
Well, R.I.P. Bill Paxton. He was very good. He was cold. Sad. He almost died in the movie.
Game over.
I'd eat a frozen hot dog.
Game over, man.
You ever seen how many times they've ran the simulation on Apollo 13 and like it was they never lived?
Really?
Yeah, and all the simulations they've ran before, you know, since. It's a miracle they made it back.
We'll make it back. And it won't be a miracle. It's actually pretty much expected unless something bad happens in the next 5 minutes. Hour number three of The Drive on the way. Parker will have the top five at five. We will be playing What You Talking About to select our alternate for Champions League play, which begins Monday. Right here on Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Back with more after this.